This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, The Upside of Losing. And best-selling novelist Lydia Millett talks about the impact of her environmental work. But first, a new educational program is coming to Cincinnati called the Brooklyn Institute for Social Research. BISR started in New York City to offer community-based education in the tradition of the liberal arts. The four-week-long courses are open to the public and give participants the opportunity to delve into important social, religious, and political issues. Joining us to discuss the program and the courses it offers are BISR Regional Director for Ohio and Kentucky, Angela Roskopf-Arisman. She'll be leading a course called Reading the Bible, The Flood, and BISR faculty member Tim Brownlee, the instructor for What is the Public Sphere? Communication in Society. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Angela and Tim, thank you for being here today.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Angela, tell us a little bit more about the origins of the Brooklyn Institute for Social Research, how it got its start in the first place.
Well, the BISR got its start in New York City in 2012 with a course on Plato and Aristotle in the back of a Brooklyn bar.
And that's a point about these courses. You hold them in a lot of different locations.
That's right. We do. We really, it's important to us to be part of the community. We're a strongly community-based education institute. In fact, some of our great partners here in the Cincinnati area are the Mercantile Library, New Rift Distilling in Newport, Kentucky, and the future Myrtle's Punch House and other places around the community where folks from all over can gather to read text together and to learn and to talk about some of the most important issues that face our community and our nation and our world.
Where did the name come from? It's got an interesting story, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It started in Brooklyn, and the initial faculty members are based in Brooklyn. But the Institute for Social Research part is a nod to the Frankfurt Institute for Social Research. The core idea that we – one of the core ideas that we share with them is the idea that ideas are socially relevant. And maybe, Tim, you'd like to speak more to this.
Yeah. Talk about the goals of the program, Tim.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that it depends on the person. It can promote a whole bunch of different goals. There's for liberal arts inquiry of the kind that we're interested in, I think that there's something that's of interest there for just about everybody. And at a certain level, it can be a matter of personal meaning. But at the same time, I think both of our courses and the courses will be offered in future are equally concerned with questions about what it means to have a society with other people, what it means to live with other people, and about some of the moral and political questions that arise surrounding that as well.
And why is there a need for a program like this, especially today?
Yeah, some of this I think we can talk about why the Brooklyn Institute got started in the first place. They saw that there was an interest among regular citizens who weren't traditional students, at least not at the time, people who had maybe been at school at some point and were graduates or had been away for a really long time, but there was still an enduring interest to engage in the kind of reading and discussion that the courses promote. So I think that's the sort of main impetus is to provide an alternative model for people to be able to get together with others and talk about ideas that are of interest to them.
So how much growth has this program experienced since it got its start?
Well, it started with only a couple of courses, that first course in Plato and Aristotle in 2012. And now in New York, they have 50 or 60 courses sometimes running at a time, and they are all, every course is capped at 20 people to allow for discussion and for community building. We want to build not just a relationship with the ideas, but a relationship with the other people in the course around the discussion, and they are full. So we're beginning just – this is our first summer in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky, and we have only two courses this summer, but our hope is that this will take root and grow in this region as well as in New York.
How did it end up in Cincinnati? Why is this a good fit for this?
that's a little bit of a personal story. I met one of the founders of BISR, Abby Kluchen, who currently teaches in Philadelphia, at a professional conference, and was introduced by a fellow friend. And we had an interest in common around public intellectual culture. I was at the time the editorial director for the Marginalia Review of Books, and we had this nexus about making big ideas widely accessible to the public. And I said, what you're doing is so fabulous, how can I be involved? And so I ended up interviewing with them and joining the faculty. And at the time, they were in New York, I was in Cincinnati, and they thought, let's get together, but what are we going to do with you? And so my presence here, we thought, let's now bring this to other parts of the country. And there's also a BISR in Detroit, as well as Philadelphia and New York and New Jersey. So we are really looking to, to plant programs throughout the United States. And Cincinnati, I'm very excited that our area is one of the first.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that they have the kind of confidence in the model for classes and what they're up to, that they can expand in this way. It's as a result and part of a grant that they've received that they're able to offer courses in the area. And that's enabled us to produce the offerings that we have for this summer, but also to make them accessible. And I think that's a really basic interest that we have in our courses, that anyone feel confident to sign up, take the course, do the readings, and come and talk with us about these things that are really interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, the widely accessible is really important to us. We really believe that everybody deserves access to the tools and the texts and the space to participate in open critical inquiry and conversation. No prerequisites to come to our class, just a desire to learn and an excitement about the big questions of what it means to be human and what it means to live in society. And we have local faculty members. Both Tim and I are members of the local community. We're not imported from somewhere else. we both have families here and have worked here for a long time.
And is that true of all the different BISR courses and programs around the country? They're all local?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. So in Detroit, all of their faculty members are residents of Detroit and areas of Kalamazoo and areas around there. And so we really want it to be local and widely accessible. The cost of our programs is also worth mentioning. The programs are priced at $25 to $75. That's all it takes. It's a sliding scale.
Okay.
And we welcome people to come and to pay what they are able. We don't want people to not come and take a BISR course because they can't afford it. And so for that, we rely on funding, but that's to help us achieve our goal of making these accessible to anybody, whether you're from Indian Hill or the West Side or over the Rhine or Newport, Dayton, Kentucky, or the East Side. We want to really make this widely accessible.
And I think the format of the courses follows that too. So the courses will follow a seminar format, which is primarily discussion-based. And part of the interest there is to have it be fairly low stakes for entry, that we're not intimidating people. People are really interested in ideas and texts, and we want to talk about them. We want to talk about them with anyone who has a similar shared interest. So even though our backgrounds are in part academic, the model for the course is discussion. You won't have to write a term paper or do anything like that. It's really about investigating ideas and talking about important texts.
So this is interactive. Is that an appropriate word for these classes?
Yeah, certainly.
You're not just going to sit there and listen to somebody lecture.
No,
you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we've learned from the way the courses have gone in New York is that students like a certain degree of structure. So Tim and I are here to bring our knowledge to the table for that. But once we provide a framework and give people the basic ideas to get going, this is really about reading and discussing together.
What types of students are you aiming for?
All types.
All types.
Frankly, yeah.
Okay. Like you said, there's no prerequisites. So,
right.
Okay.
My sense from the New York courses is that many students are students who have an undergraduate degree and have maybe been out of school for a little while, but want to come back and they're still interested in learning. But beyond that, so I suspect that there's a group in Cincinnati who would be similar. But beyond that, we're interested in just about anyone, again, who has the interest. So it could be people who've been out of school for a very long time, potentially retirees who have more time on their hands. It could be high school students who have a kind of confidence and interest to pursue the courses. It could be professionals. It could be working people. So I really think that The way the courses are planned and structured, the model is one that should be available to just about anyone who has the interest. And that's a commitment that I think that we have as individuals in terms of how we're going to be leading these courses to make sure that that everyone can come along, everyone can come and discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should also emphasize too that we're striving to schedule our courses so that they are not happening during people's workday. They tend to be on the evenings, on the weekends, and they go for only 4 weeks. So it's
not— Are they every day of the week, Angela,
no,
or just certain days of the week?
They're 3 hours every evening for a week, once a week for a month. So there's not an onerous time commitment. You don't have to give up 6 months of your life to take a BISR course. It's just one night of your week where you come, and we are going to be eating and enjoying our meals and food at the, you know, whatever place. So it's very casual, but also very serious sort of gathering. So we encourage people to come and enjoy and have fun and learn.
And we will continue our conversation about BISR. You can join us by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Joining me this afternoon to discuss the Brooklyn Institute for Social Research are BISR Regional Director for Ohio and Kentucky, Angela Roskopf-Arisman. She's going to be leading a course called Reading the Bible, The Flood, and BISR faculty member Tim Brownlee, who's the instructor for What is the Public Sphere, Communication in Society. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Angela, let's have you start with your course,
Great.
Reading the Bible, The Flood. What is this going to be about?
Great. Well, the flood story is something that is really widely known, if in no other way because of what we put in our kids' rooms. My son's room is full of Noah's Ark paraphernalia, and it's a natural story to draw interest to Christians and Jews, for whom this is scripture. But it's really a powerful story that has so many links to other literatures of the ancient world, and that really is both in Greece, ancient Greek philosophy, as well as ancient Mesopotamian literature, and it really addresses key questions that are of concern to any of us. What does it mean to be human? What is justice, and particularly what happens in society when injustice becomes normal? So, you know, in our course, we'll be looking at these links and learning how to read beyond just the basic plot of the flood story, which many people know. And I find that really exciting because it helps us understand how creative the ancient Israelite scribes were. And we'll be looking at the power of story to shape our worldview and our sense of self and our sense of society.
So, Tim, yours is, what is the public sphere? That's a great question, by the way. What is the public sphere? Communication and society. What is your course going to touch on?
Well, so the central question is the one that's in the title. What actually is the public sphere? There are all sorts of different ways in which we talk about the public. And part of the real primary aim of the course is to get clear on exactly what we mean by that, what a public sphere might be. What kind of rules govern it? What kind of place is it? What kind of history does it have? And the way that we're going to look at that is the primary means we're going to examine that question is by looking at a book by a German social theorist named Jürgen Habermas, who wrote a book called The Structural Transformation of the Public Sphere. Habermas, part of the book is just offering a history of the public sphere in liberal and democratic societies. But the thing that really interests me about the book is that he makes these really kind of challenging claims, asking whether we actually have a public sphere. So on the one hand, Habermas thinks that democratic societies require a public sphere. On his view, there needs to be some place where citizens can get together to talk about issues that are of common interest, where the primary norm that governs them is reason, so being able to offer reasons for the claims that you make. So on the one hand, he wants to say that that's necessary, but he also has these really deep worries about whether a sphere like that actually exists. Whether, for example, our political institutions are structured so that there could be a public sphere, or whether the media are equipped to provide that sort of venue for public discussion. So there's this real tension, according to Habermas. On the one hand, it's something we absolutely need, but it's on the other hand, he thinks it's something that's under threat, and that raises some really deep worries, according to him, about the possibility of freedom. So part of the course is historical, but the issues that we're talking about are of really pressing contemporary concern,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they sound very, very relevant to today. Yeah. So when do the courses start?
The course on the flood story starts Thursday night at the Mercantile Library, and I would just emphasize that it's not too late to sign up.
Okay.
Not at all. We welcome anyone who's listening who's interested to get on the web and to sign up for the course. We would love to see you. We still have plenty of space. So,
what is that website, Angela?
It is the link is on the
WVXU.org
website. But you can also just Google the Brooklyn Institute and the title of the course, which is Reading the Bible, the Flood, and it should take you to the place where you can sign up.
Mm-hmm. Tim, what about your course? Is it when's it starting, and where is it going to be at?
My course will take place at New Rift Distillery, and it'll be running in the second half of July up to the first week of August. So again, 4 weeks, one night a week, and a similar idea. There'll be food and opportunities for socializing and fellowship in addition to good opportunities to discuss important ideas.
Mm-hmm. So those are the two local courses. What are some of the other courses that have been covered at the other BISR programs across the country?
This summer I'm a little bit wishing I could be in two places at once, because there's a wonderful course in aesthetics that's being offered in Detroit, and also a course in Freud, in psychoanalysis in Detroit. So that's exciting. And in New York, they've offered courses on what is political Islam. They've offered courses on feminist theory. They've offered courses on political theory. It's really a very exciting array of things. And when you look, listeners, if they go on the website, can look at what courses are in New York and at other BISR sites. And it's really, to look at the broad array of courses makes me even more excited. We're starting with two great courses, but we have really endless potential for what we can offer here in our area.
Yeah, and I think that's really promising and kind of heartening. The initial offerings, I think, for the Institute were primarily great books courses. So people who are interested in reading Plato and Aristotle, or people who are interested in reading Spinoza's Ethics. So it's really interesting to me to see just how much interest that there's been on behalf of people, that these are things that they really want to come out and learn about and they want to come out and discuss. And I think one of the big successes of the Institute is that they've had this very a clear model that was the sort of starting point for a lot of the courses, and that people have answered that people see that there's value in reading these books, that they make a difference for their lives and they make a difference for their relationships to other people.
Yeah, and we take that great books model and adapt it to individual communities. What Detroit needs to read is not necessarily the same thing that Cincinnati needs to read, or hopefully eventually Dayton and Lexington need to read. And so we really want to adapt it to reading things that are directly relevant to our local community. Again, that goes back to the community-based value that we have for education.
Let's talk to Charles in Blue Ash. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Listen, I'm interested in what you're doing, but I'm wondering, I like the idea you're going out in the community and the taverns and stuff, but have you touched base with Christ Cathedral on their series? They might be able to promote that. Faith Community Alliance might promote that. There's another organization on civic engagement that might be able to promote your program, or at least to have an alliance with those.
So you're talking about partnering with other organizations for holding these discussions.
Yeah, those are really helpful suggestions, and we appreciate them. I think that there's an interest in establishing relationships with other groups in the city as much as we can, especially since this is a new initiative.
And it's part of the public sphere, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Right. Anytime, according to Habermas, people come together and discuss issues of common interest, and those would be excellent venues, I think, for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just emphasize too that we're only getting started. So, one of the reasons that we wanted to bring this program to Cincinnati is because Cincinnati and the Northern Kentucky area is already so culturally rich, and there's I said our area is really ripe for this. We have so many potential community partners. If you're interested in, we'd love to hear from you.
How do you go about finding instructors for the courses?
We build a faculty in a way that's very similar to the way any academic institution does. We have a rigorous interview process, and we look for people who can teach courses in our range of things. We're not a technical institute. We don't teach you how to balance your checkbook, but we, philosophers, historians.
These are liberal arts topics.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And so people who are teaching art theory or political theory. And so we find them, we look for them locally. And some of it is people coming to us, and some of it is us reaching out to potential faculty members in the area.
Mm-hmm. How do people react to the Bisser courses in other cities? Are they usually full? Are they typically full up?
Yes, they are. They are typically full. In fact, this spring there was a course on Hegel that was offered on Friday nights that had 20 people in it. So there is
20 is always your max for these.
20, yeah. 20 is our cap. So it was a full course on Hegel on a Friday night. So I think that says something about the commitment of people who are attracted to Bisser courses. In New York, we tend to see a lot of the same people coming back, which we always want to see new people as well. But it what this speaks to is the creation of an intellectual community, that fellowship and ideas and eating together. And so that's really what we want to cultivate here in Cincinnati.
And again, if you would give me the dates again for Reading the Bible, it's...
Reading the Bible begins this Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
This Thursday. It runs for four weeks.
Okay. And Tim? The Public Sphere.
And Public Sphere runs from mid-July up until the first week in August. And there's dates and information on the Brooklyn Institute website, and it sounds like there's a link from the WVXU website as well.
Any idea what's next?
Sky's the limit.
Okay.
Sky's the limit.
This is ever-evolving, it sounds
like.
It is
ever-evolving. We intend to offer courses in the fall and in the spring, and to have a seasonal slate of offerings. So this summer is just the start, and we'll learn from what we have our experience this summer, and we will build from there.
Angela and Tim, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brooklyn Institute for Social Research Regional Director for Ohio and Kentucky, Angela Roskopf-Arisman, and Bisser faculty member Tim Brownlee. And you can find links to more information about Bisser and the courses that Angela and Tim will be offering at wvxu.org.